This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العالمين رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العالمين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ وقال تعالى, وَهُوَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَهُ الْحَمْدُ فِي الْأُولَى وَالْآخِرَةِ وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. Dear brothers and sisters, wherever you are around the world, جزاكم الله خير for joining us and for taking part in this global webinar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward both the organizers and also those of you who've signed up taking their time out on this Saturday afternoon, evening, night, wherever you are around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a means of elevating His kalima, la ilaha illallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this also a means of relieving some of the difficulties that our Muslim brethren are experiencing around the world. Every bit we can do in our comfort, especially, I mean, I'm assuming that if we're on this course right now, if we're on this webinar right now, you have access to internet. That means you must be in some kind of situation of comfort, and definitely there will be people who are worse off than us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve them of their problems and their issues. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from any form of fitna or trials that we cannot bear. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a blessed occasion for all of us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He has a surah which He makes us read over and over again. Every Muslim, whenever they are making salat, or even in other situations when they want to gain barakah, when they want to gain shifa, they recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin. If we're just to look at these first few verses of this surah, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. When we speak about the world, or the worlds rather, this is a plural of world, of alam. And alam here refers to all forms of worlds. And what this means here, this could refer to the world of the insan, the world of the human being, the world of the jinn, the world of the flowers, the world of inanimate objects, the world of the birds, the world of beasts. This encompasses all of these worlds, the world of the angels, the sublunary world, the supralunary world. It includes all of that. It can also include, in terms of worlds, it can also be categorized into a category of different beings. It could be categorized in terms of time, and thus we have the alamul arwah, which is the domain or the realm in which we are in before we come into this world. Then there's the alamul dunya, and then there's the alamul barzakh, which follows this world, which is the intermediate realm between this world and the next world. And then comes the next world, which is then the standing on the day of judgment, the reckoning, the Qiyamah. And then after that comes the world that follows that, which is the world of paradise or hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us into Jannah without any reckoning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, all praise is to Allah, who is the Lord of the worlds. He is the absolute creator, He is the absolute administrator, and totally in charge of all of these different realms. So essentially, when we look at it from a time perspective, He's been in charge from even before we were born. And he will be in charge even after we are born. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as related by Imam Muslim from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he relates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَطْوِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will roll up the heavens on the day of judgment. ثُمَّ يَأْخُذُهُنَّ بِيَدِهِ الْيُمْنَى Then he will grasp them, he will take hold of them with his right. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ Then he will announce, once he's done that, once he's taken all of this into his hand, he will say, I am the sovereign, I am the king, I am the absolute ruler. Where are the tyrants? Where are the arrogant ones? Where are those that used to consider themselves something over others and oppress others and consider themselves to be superior to others? أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ Then this will just be the heavens, he will do that. So the people will still be on the on the earth. Then it says, ثُمَّ يَطْوِي اللَّهُ ثُمَّ يَطْوِي الْأَرْضِينَ بِشِمَالِهِ Then he, with his left, he will roll up the earths, the different layers of the earth. ثُمَّ يَقُولُ أَنَا الْمَلِكُ أَيْنَ الْجَبَّارُونَ أَيْنَ الْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ And then he will announce the same thing, which is that I am the sovereign. Where are the tyrants? Where are the claimants of power? Where are the claimants of arrogance? Where are the claimants of all sorts of worldly abilities who thought that they could do as they wished in this world? فَسُبْحَانَ مَنْ أَتَتْهُ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ طَائِعَةً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before He created the world, He explains in the Qur'an that He created the heavens, He created the world. He then said to the heavens and the earth, اِتِّيَا طَوْعًا أَوْ كَرْهًا قَالَتَا أَتَيْنَا طَائِعِينَ He says, come together whether you like it or not. Come together willingly or unwillingly. They said, we will come together willingly. What that, according to some scientists, what they've recognized with that is that if you study the nature of the substance and the forces that make up the sublunary world, meaning the earth, and you look at the nature of the heavens, you will see that they are of opposing natures, in the sense that it's very difficult, it's quite a extraordinary event that they've even been able to come together and stay together. And that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this eternally in the Quran, that come together, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed the heavens and the earth, and he said, come together whether you like it or not. And they said, no, we'll come together willingly. So they are servants, they are in servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they come together willingly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's control of the entire universe is such, and now this may be a repetition of things that we've heard before, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ That remind, because reminders are beneficial for the believers. And although we've heard many of these things before, it always helps for us to understand and re-recognize, re-acknowledge and remind ourselves of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give you an example of that. There's Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus alayhi salam has gone away from his community, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to take him through some difficulty, through a test, as he Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes his messengers through many tests, Ibrahim alayhi salam and others. So Yunus alayhi salam, he goes away, he's on the banks of the river, and suddenly he is washed out and a whale comes and eats him up. Now just imagine for a moment that anything that goes into the stomach of a whale, a stomach of any living being. I mean, if you've studied even basic biology, you'll be able to understand that there are forces that will take over as soon as the food goes down the throat. As soon as it goes down the gullet, there are forces within which take over. There is the bile that is spread over the food. There are the different processes that take place in the intestines, and then how it squashes how it breaks it down and squashes it together and so on. I mean, even a basic understanding of biology will be able to give you an understanding of that. Now imagine Yunus alayhi salam, full grown human being, is in this whale, and the whale has no control over its insides. It's a natural process that none of us have any control over. The only way, the only thing you could do if you've taken something down and swallowed something that you don't want, is you'll have to try to immediately bring it up again by putting your finger in your mouth or trying to, you know, vomit it out. Other than that, once it's in there, then unless it's something which is indestructible, like maybe you know a piece of metal or something which may harm our insides, or it may come out if it's in a safe passage, you know, from when a person relieves themselves. Other than that, I mean, nobody has any control over what goes on in our inside. However, with Yunus alayhi salam, he was there only to be put under this test. When he's in the stomach, he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no God except you. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka. You are free of all blemishes. Glorified are you. You are pure of all defects. And you are above any kind of blemish that anybody could ever attribute. Subhanak, inni kuntu min al-zalimin. He said, I was of the oppressors. I was of those who had done wrong. I should have followed the different path. I should not have said what I said. I should not have made the statement that I did make. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the control center of all of these things, and this is our belief about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which inshallah you are and all of us are part of, is the belief of the majority of the Muslims today, as opposed to certain other sectarian groups and other sectarian groups that lived before. The opinion of the majority of the opinion of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as Imam Ghazali explains, is that of that we are occasionalists. And what that means is that unlike certain philosophers and unlike the Mu'tazilites of the past, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he makes something, when he creates something, he gives it certain powers. But each time, he doesn't give them powers, we'd rather say he associates certain powers to them, which are released by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, case by case basis, literally speaking. So every time you want to take a morsel and you want to chew it, Allah is permitting you to do that. Every time that you move your finger, literally, You are being permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every time a knife is being used to cut something, it is being permitted to cut by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put an intrinsic ability within the knife or the fire to be able to cut and to burn as it pleases, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now doesn't have to take part in anything. It's not an automated world. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, He could have, but He doesn't need an automated world. We need an automated world. The only reason human beings need things automated in the morning, for example, you know, the coffee maker is ready in the morning with your coffee, right? The washing machine does your things according to a set time. The oven comes on at your given time. When you come back home from work, your food is ready. The only reason we need to do these things is because we are unable to multitask in that way, that we can't be working on site at our workplace and at the same time be preparing food at home or cleaning. That all of these things are just something for us. Now we must not think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's abilities are way beyond our imagination. It's absolutely way beyond our imagination. So the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all of these things at once and give permission to every single fire that burns in the world at any given time, simultaneously the fires that are burning at any given time, or the knives that are cutting, or anybody that's moving, any leaf that is dropping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that in the Quran himself about the leaf. I'll tell you a story about that afterwards. But the main thing you must understand is that the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so mighty. And we must not underestimate His power. Those philosophers who said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now passive, in the sense that He's put His, He's created certain necessary associations between things and their effects, and now those things have to take place, then some of them, they say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can intervene and stop it sometimes if they wants to. Like, for example, if you ask them about this Yunus alayhi salam story, how he went into the stomach of this large fish or whale and it didn't have any effect on him, and then he finally came out of it totally unharmed. How is that possible? How is that possible that a human being be taken in like that and then come out? These philosophers would basically say that, some would say that although God has created this association. God has created this association. He does have the ability to interrupt it, to intervene sometimes if he wants to. And yet there were others who believe in God as being the original creator of everything, but now he's no longer in charge of it. Now he can't even intervene. Now that's obviously really, both of those opinions are really limiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. We believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is so great and is so mighty, and it's so comprehensive and so multifaceted that at the same time he is able to hear everything that is going on in the world. Literally. And some of the later scholars even went as far as saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even see sounds. So it's not that he has to hear sounds, but he can even see sounds. Right? He can even see sounds. And subhanAllah, you know, this might be something of disbelief to many of us, but recently there is a person who is colorblind. He's colorblind, he can't really see colors properly. You know, he can just see like two colors or something like that, just dark and light. He created this gadget. He created this gadget where he's got this processor linked to a camera which he carries everywhere for the last so many years over his head. And any color that he sees, that color is then translated into a sound that he hears, and he is able to recognize the sound regardless of what color it is. Right? He can put the camera to somebody's face, he can recognize the color of your face, how it's different from somebody else's. Essentially what we are doing here is he is hearing colors. Right? If he can hear colors through this basic camera and microchip, this processor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability, according to some of the later theologians, that he can even see sounds, and his hearing, his power is dominating. It's dominating, it's thorough. So our belief is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely, he knows everything that we're doing. So we can't do anything that he doesn't know. It's not that we do it and then he finds out. Everything that we do, he knows from before, because he's the one who gives us the power to actually do it when we do it. We have our free will, so we do something, right? We want to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the ability to do it. If you want to use that ability to do good, he gives us the ability to do it. If you want to use that same ability with our feet and our hands to go and do evil, well, he'll say, okay, I'll give you the ability to use that as well. But we're going to reckon with you afterwards. If you use this God-given ability that is at your disposal, which we've said we will give you whenever you want to do something, then we're going to reckon with you accordingly as well. We're going to reckon with you accordingly in the sense that if you do good with it, great. If you don't do good with it, you're going to be taken to task. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his ability is so great, as he himself says in the Quran, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ. For him, he possesses the keys of all of the unseen. So nobody else can even enter into the unseen world, because the keys are all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything unseen is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. Nobody knows it but he does. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. He knows what is on the earth and what is in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. He also knows. It actually says in the Quran here, وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Not a leaf drops except that he knows that as well. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And likewise, even a seed in the dark depths of the earth, he even knows that. So every seed at this point in time, you can imagine acres and acres of cornfields, acres and acres of all the vegetation and all the crops that are growing around the UK, the US, around the world, in Africa and other places. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of every single habba, every single seed, exactly what's going to come of it, when it's going to germinate, what it's going to produce. He knows everything exactly as it is. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. There's neither anything else, dry or moist, that is not in the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is recorded. That is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ وَمَا يَعْزُبُ عَنْ رَبِّكَ مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. That There is nothing that will be hidden and that will miss your Lord, whether it's the size of an atom. Even the something the size of an atom cannot be missed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in the heavens or the earth. Whether it's even smaller than that. If you can fathom things, and science is always discovering, they're always dividing and subdividing the atoms and the protons and so on and so forth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all of that covered. He says that even if it's the size of a mustard seed, even if it's the size of an atom, وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ, even if it's smaller than that, you can go, because obviously, if he had mentioned something smaller, the knowledge of that wasn't available at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comprehensively mentioned that you can go on dividing, and you can continue to divide things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows those things beyond that level. وَلَا أَصْغَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَا أَكْبَرَ, or you can magnify things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and He knows even things greater than that. Things that are so great that you could never understand, that you could never fathom. For example, the space. There is an exploration right now of this, of the universe, and trying to understand where we are, because we are such small beings in the realm of this great universe. I mean, to give you a simple example, if you think of a bacteria on somebody's tooth, right? If you think of a bacteria on just one tooth of a person, right? If that bacteria decided that it wanted to see how this, the universe that it lived in, and the universe that it lives in, I mean the proportion, right, of the of this bacteria compared to this tooth is probably the proportion of you know, us in this Milky Way, in this galaxy. I mean, that's probably the proportion. But for, just like we would have to go away in a satellite into space and be able to then take an aerial view of something, this bacteria would have to dislodge itself and come back and go to such a distance that you'll be able to see the tooth that it's on, and then beyond the tooth to see the mouth that that tooth is in, and then to see the face that that, that mouth is on, and so on and so forth. Now you can imagine that we, that there are things that are so beyond us, so great, and then yet so minute as well. In both of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all of them covered, إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, except that it's all in a clear book, which will be laid open clearly in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand His greatness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the understand to be give us understanding, give us the ability to think of Him and to treat Him and to worship Him the way He is. وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. They have not valued, they have not really regarded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as is His right to be regarded, to be considered in every aspect. وَالْأَرْضُ جَمِيعًا قَبْضَتُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, whereas the whole earth will be under His command on the Day of Judgment. And subhanAllah, if you look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power that He has, that He changes the customary ways of things in this world to prove His power at certain times. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a hadith related by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni la'arifu hajaran fi Makkah kana yusallimu alayya qabla an ub'ath." That I know, and I can still recognize, if I go there, I could still recognize that stone in Makkah that used to make salam on me, that used to say salams to me before I was even a prophet. Before I was sent as a prophet and chosen and designated as a prophet, I know that stone. It used to make salam to me all the time. Imagine that. A stone. I mean, subhanAllah. You know, nowadays a stone could talk, but you have to put a chip in there. Right? You'd have to put a chip in there. It'd have to be something with a chip inside, something with a speaker inside, and something that's programmed to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make a normal stone speak. Now, He doesn't do this all the time, because this is not a world of customary miracles. This is not a world of magic. Can you imagine if everything just happened by magic here? Or if everything happened in this haphazard way where, you know, you could call on to the unseen and let things happen in a way that, went against the norm of things? Because really, essentially, what is magic? What is a miracle? A miracle or magic is something that goes against what you're normally used to. You're normally not used to this moon being split. Okay, it's being split. You're not used to a staff or a stick becoming a snake. Okay, here you go. The staff of Musa alayhi salam becomes a stick. You're not used to Yunus alayhi salam, or a man being in a whale and then being able to come out of it, right, and escape from it totally unharmed. You're not used to it, because the normal customary exercise would have been that he be digested in that. Na'udhu billah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes against these things sometimes as a miracle. That's exactly what it is, to prove a point, to show sometimes that look, things can be different. Umar radiallahu anhu is in the masjid in Medina. He's got the sahaba around him. Umar radiallahu anhu is on the mimbar. And suddenly suddenly in the middle of his khutbah, he starts to say, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, Ya Sariya al-Jabal. That O Sariya, meaning referring to a sahabi whose name was Sariya, the mountain. And people, can you imagine what people must have thought, that he's in the middle of a khutbah and suddenly he starts saying, O Sariya, O Sariya, where Sariya wasn't even around. Sariya was in Persia. He was in one of the jihads in Persia. And many people probably knew that. And they're just wondering, what is Umar radiallahu anhu saying? Some people mark that day when this thing had taken place. When this army came back from Persia, Sariya radiallahu anhu was in there as well. And he explained that we were there and there was a vulnerable point from which our enemies would have attacked us. And Umar radiallahu anhu, I suddenly heard Umar radiallahu anhu's voice telling us to be careful of the mountain. So we quickly turned around and we were able to protect ourselves, otherwise we would have been destroyed. Now remember, there were situations when the Muslims were defeated, when the Muslims were attacked. In a similar situation, if you look in the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left 50 archers there, 50 people, 50 soldiers there to Sahaba, and told them not to move. When they thought that it had all been won, they moved away. Now, in that case, no miracle took place. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did cause the Muslims to compose themselves again in that situation. But in this battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided to do something extraordinary. Just so that you don't rely on that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to rely on Him. That's why He says, كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرَةً بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. There are so many, a small group that will dominate and win and have success, that will have success over larger groups. And that's why you notice that when you have 313 in the Battle of Badr, they took over a group of 1,000 that were well equipped. Right? Battle of Uhud, similar. You've got the situation. Now, the conquest of Makkah takes place and all of these other people become Muslim that had just been waiting, literally in thousands people became Muslim after the conquest of Makkah. So now what you had is, you had this, one of the largest armies the Muslims had ever gotten together, you had them going towards Hunayn, south of Medina Munawwara, south of Makkah, to go and take, go and deal with the Hawazin there. Now people thought, there were many new Muslims as well, people thought that this was one was going to be a walkover, because until now, despite being very small in number, they were able to overcome greater enemies. And now you have this great, huge army going down, and it was just going to be a walkover. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed them that that's not what works. It's the qudra of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He can do things that He wants, as long as you have your tawakkul and your reliance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He showed them, because initially they came under a shower of arrows. Where they were trapped in a valley, and the people of Hawazin were very good archers, and they were totally scattered. It came to such a situation, as is related, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was literally left in the middle on his mount with a few sahaba around him. They were, because everybody had scattered. It caused such a it disrupted everything. It made such a turbulence among the Muslim forces, that it was Abu Sufyan and Abbas radiallahu anhu that remained with him. And finally the army came together again, and then they were able to overcome the area. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in His Quran as well, أَعْجَبَتْهُمْ كَثْرَتُهُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْهُمْ شَيْئًا, that their large number made them conceited. Their large numbers made them very excited and happy, that they started to trust their numbers. And that's why it was of no avail to them. Those numbers could not do anything for them. That's why from these things we can understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not do things by magic in this world. Except certain times it seems like that. Normally there's always an explanation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is over all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power is over all things. Our reliance must be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our power must be on Him. I'll give you an example. There's a story that's related by Ibn Kathir and other Mufassirin as well. That there was a man who was lying down somewhere and he saw a scorpion. Actually, this is another version of this story. It's related by Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi in his Kitab al-Tawwabin. He says that this man suddenly saw this scorpion, which is really going fast. So he decides to follow it because it seems like this scorpion seems to know where it's going. Normally you see a scorpion is scuttling around here and there aimlessly, you know, just going from one place to the other, hiding somewhere, maybe coming out. This didn't look like that. This seemed like this scorpion was going in a particular direction. It seemed to have a mission in mind, and it seemed to have, it seemed to be taking its steps with great conviction. So he decided to follow it. He saw that as it was going, and this person is following it, suddenly he sees in the distance this young youth, right, who is known to be a drunkard of the community. He's lying there. So this person thought that this scorpion is going to go and attack him, but it was still quite extraordinary. Why would a scorpion go so far? No, because from where we had started, the scorpion or this person could not see this drunkard sleeping in that direction, in the middle of the forest. So the scorpion is going in that direction. Obviously, it's being directed by something. So they go, and finally, what they notice is that it goes there and there's a snake that's about to attack this young guy, this drunkard. This scorpion heads towards that snake and bites that snake, and the snake falls to the side. So this guy, this person who had been following this snake, this scorpion, he goes and quickly wakes that drunkard up, right? And says, look at this, look what's happened next to you. He sees the dead snake next to him and he sees the scorpion retreating, and the drunkard person is just out of his mind. He just can't understand. And then this person gives him some nasiha. He says, look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected you from such a distance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills well with you, wills good with you, that you could have died by being bitten by this snake, having slept in this area, but look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done for you. This, from that day, that young man, he made tawbah. He made tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he used to say that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can even protect a drunkard and a wasted individual like me who doesn't care about his life, because this guy just used to get drunk, he was always in a state of depression, and he used to just be totally knocked out wherever he was. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could care for me, then He can do great things for me. This really improved his understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It improved his understanding in the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, he changed from that day, and he became a much better individual. That is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does many things, and I'm sure if we've thought of these kind of things in our life as well, you will realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done many things for us. Sometimes we can explain those things, and sometimes we can't explain those things, right? Now, in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, and this is what you see on your screen there, be and it is the power of the Almighty, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says in the Quran, Surah Yasin, إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wills to do something, right? When He wills to do, now when we use the word will for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a definite will. When we say we wish something, we don't know whether it's going to happen or not. We would want it to happen, and that's why we wish it. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever arada shay'an, which means whenever He wills something, it happens. And then to show how fast and how quickly and how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is and how fast He can do something, it says, all He has to say is kun fayakun. Fayakun means, and then that thing is. He just has to say, be, and it is. Now the ulama have looked at this verse, and some have taken it literally by saying that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to create something, He just says kun, and the thing is created. However, other ulama have gone beyond that and said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not even in need of saying the word kun. He doesn't have to say that. This is just to give us an understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do this. It's an expression He's using. Like we say, oh, don't worry, it's just at a click of a finger. I can click my finger and this will take place, right? I can just look at Him and He will melt. You know, that kind of a thing, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even need it. He doesn't even have to utter it. It's just an indication or a metaphor of how fast he can do something, that it's as fast as that. In fact, it's even faster than that, right? Because imagine it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have the throne of the Queen of Sheba given to Sulaiman alayhi salam at the blink of an eye, right? And the blink of an eye may be faster than saying kun. Then it seems like these people have a point, because Sulaiman alayhi salam wanted the throne of the Queen of Sheba to be brought to him before she came. And what he noticed, what he asked, who can bring it to me before she comes to me on land? So one person said, one jinn, Ifritu min al-jinn, said, I'll bring it to you before you can stand up from your place, which is quite quick, probably a few seconds. Another one, another human being who had the knowledge of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, I can bring it to you faster than that. I can bring it to you at the blink of an eye. And there it was standing in front of him. If that is the case there, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even need to say kun? However, the third group of ulama, they say, look, this is part of the mutashabihat of the Qur'an. It's one of the ambiguous aspects of the Qur'an where we can't really understand exactly. We're not going to insist on it, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it, that's what all he has to do. So we believe in it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to believe in it. And that is probably the best opinion to follow. Having said that, the main thing is that we must recognize the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can be attracted to us. It says in a hadith that sadaqah calms the anger of the Lord. Sadaqah calms the anger of the Lord, and it also repels an evil death. I'm sure this is something we all want to do. We've all done wrongs. Whenever we've done a wrong, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be angry with us. And that's why Hassan al-Basri says in his collection of prayers for forgiveness, he says, Oh Allah, I seek forgiveness from you for every sin that has prevented good things happening to me, that has prevented my sustenance being increased, that has caused my sustenance to be decreased, that has caused problems to occur in my life, that has caused all of these issues to come up in front of me, that has taken away the barakah from me. So if we want barakah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the most powerful ways is to give sadaqah. That's why it says that during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, the one thing that the munafiqeen could not do, they could come to the prayer, they'll come a bit lazy, they would come at the back, they'd just attend just to show that they're there. They wouldn't miss it completely, because if you missed a prayer in the masjid in time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were a munafiq. I mean, it was quite clear, because all the believers prayed at that time in the masjid. However, the one thing that they found very difficult to do is to give sadaqah. That's why sometimes what they would do is they would come to the Prophet ﷺ, ask for a personal consultation with him, and then they would come and say these weird things. So in order to take that away and to stop that from happening, the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً, that now when you come to talk intimately to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, give some sadaqah before. Now obviously, because they were so tight about giving their money away, they were unable to do that. That stopped many of them from coming and irritating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Having said that, sadaqah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is increased greatly. It shows that we have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more tawakkul and reliance you have in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more sadaqah you will give. Think about it. Why would you not want to give £2,000 today? The reason is that you think you need to save up. You think that's all you've got. If you've got that much, I mean. If you've got that much, or however much you have, to say you have £200, $200. Can you give that $200 away? You'd think, no, it's something I saved up. I need to buy a house. I need to buy a car. I need to buy this. I need to buy that. I need to leave it for my children. Whatever the story is, I've got a whole life in front of me. The reason why we can't give it is because our level of tawakkul is not that great. If Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu could give everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when asked what you left for your family, he said, Allah and His Messenger. That is tawakkul. Seriously, that is tawakkul. I mean, can we get to that level? Right? If we can't get to that level, we should be able to get to some level. Right? We're not asking you to give all your money. I would finish this program, this session, by recommending and requesting all of us to be able to donate something for this cause. These group of sisters in Al-Muhsinat, mashallah, may Allah reward them. They're doing this great work. I mean, it's really great in this day and age, you know, to see this as an example. Many sisters, they wonder what they can do for Islam. This is a great way. I mean, look at this. This is all being done by sisters. right? That they're setting this whole thing up online. They don't have to expose themselves. They can keep their modesty, and at the same time, they can do this great work. This is a good example of what sisters can do. This is just one example. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq of what you can do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about something for you. May Allah reward all of these people, the brothers as well, whoever is involved in this project, and all of the scholars, our Shaykh Abdul Rahim, Mawlana Abdul Rahim sahab, and Mawlana Hussein Qadhi as well, who's going to be speaking after me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward them all for taking this time out on this Saturday, right? I am speaking to you. I've got another program to attend in Cambridge, so we managed to find a room to be able to do this program. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated for us. I ask all of you to make dua for me as well, my family, and for all of those on this side that have made this useful as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a great jaza. I encourage you again to do as much as possible for this madrasa project that they have in Albania. As far as I understand, I'll be explaining more later on. Stay for the rest of the course and really, really give your most, so that we can show our reliance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He forgive us, may He protect us from all forms of fitna and problems. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least if He sees that we're doing something for other people in the world, He will protect us from going down the same way. We must never feel a guarantee that we have it best. It's just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes poverty and he takes poverty to different places at different times. He enriches different people at different times. Currently, we're doing quite well in the West. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.